listening to the movies and tripping down memory lane. This is the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast for Wednesday, the 25th of January, 2023. I am your host, Ken Ray, joined today by Nick DeCorville, a writer for the Mac Observer. Greetings, Nick.
Greetings, Ken. How you doing?
Now, you know, nobody cares. Second part of today's show. Yesterday marked an anniversary that I totally missed. The 24th of January was the 39th anniversary of Steve Jobs' first presentation of the Mac. Since Nick and I are talking yesterday, as far as you're concerned, we're going to mark this anniversary while there's still time. First, though, award season is coming to its natural crescendo. And I say natural, there's nothing natural about award season, but yesterday, I guess it was, as people hear this, the 2003 Academy Award nominations were announced, covering the year 2002, of course. Last year was Apple's year at the Academy Awards. CODA was nominated for Best Picture. Sean Heder, I believe her name is, was nominated for Best Director. Of course, Troy Kotsur actually won for Best Supporting Actor. I feel like there were a couple of other nominations as well. Of course, the film actually did take Best Picture, although I don't think the director got the director. I think Jane Campion got that for The Power of the Dog. All of that aside, last year was Apple's year at the Academy Awards. This year will not be Apple's year at the Academy Awards. Cult of Mac says the streaming service has picked up two Academy Award nominations. And Nick and I are going to go through all two of them, starting with Brian Tyree Henry was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for his part in Causeway. Started to say cosplay. For his part in Causeway, that is the Jennifer Lawrence film wherein she stars as a wounded Afghanistan vet forced to return to her hometown. And she spends the whole time trying to, you know, get good enough so she can redeploy. She also served as a producer on that show. You saw it?
I did. I did see Causeway. Yeah. I'm kind of surprised that it's not more prevalent on the Oscar list.
Hmm.
I thought Jennifer Lawrence did a fantastic job. I absolutely love the movie. I'm really glad to hear that Henry is at least getting his nomination. I think everybody kind of saw Henry getting the nomination coming. But Causeway not getting a Best Picture nomination is pretty surprising in my book.
Really?
I think it hit all of the notes that an Oscar-nominated film tries to go for, and that might have been one of its problems, is that somewhere along the line, somebody decided, like, let's tailor this movie to trying and get an Oscar.
Hmm. I gotta say, I am not surprised at all that the film was not nominated. I am surprised that Jennifer Lawrence wasn't nominated. Now, they nominate 10 films for Best Picture, and they only nominate 5 actors, or actresses, as the case may be. I did not see anybody else's performance, so I can't say she was robbed or anything like that. But she's close to, I mean, depending on the film, I wouldn't say this was true for the Hunger Games movies necessarily, but I mean, she's close to Meryl Streep status to me as far as you're going to get a good performance.
Yeah.
And, you know, X-Men movies aside and all that stuff. I mean, if the movie calls for it, she is going to turn in an absolutely top-notch performance. And I thought that I was sitting there watching a performance that was going to be Oscar nominated. Brian Tyree Henry, I will be honest, I was surprised that he got nominated, because if you haven't watched enough of his stuff, not that it's not worth it, because it is, but if you haven't seen enough of his stuff, you might think that he's just showing up. That's how good his performance was. I have no idea what Brian Tyree Henry actually sounds like, because his character in the TV series Atlanta versus his character in whatever that Marvel movie was that he did versus his character in that Godzilla movie that he did. I think it was Godzilla versus Kong versus his character in this. They all sound different. And if you're not really familiar with him, you might have thought that he just, you know, kind of showed up and was himself for this movie. And he wasn't. Other thoughts on the movie itself?
It's definitely one that deserves a second watch, and I haven't fully given it that second watch yet.
Mm-hmm. We just watched it this past weekend here.
Oh.
So I haven't had time to give it a second watch. Way understated. Everything about this movie is understated. Like, he's got a defining tragedy in his life, his character does, and she has a defining tragedy in her life. And then there's other stuff about her family, and another screenwriter or another director might have said, we need to see that. And what's great is not only did we not need to see any of it, we didn't see any of it. What we needed to see was these people dealing with it. And it wasn't until I stopped to think about it that I realized what happened to her in Afghanistan, we don't see. We hear her tell it, and she tells it in such a brutal way that you might have been able to convince me that we actually did see that scene. I thought the movie was great, and I'm still not surprised it wasn't nominated for Best Picture. I'm kind of bummed that it wasn't nominated for Best Picture, but, you know.
I think it definitely deserved it, yeah. Yeah, I like your thoughts on that, too. It's Causeway is definitely a movie. I think what I liked about it is how little information it actually gives you. Mm-hmm. Like, you're watching a movie, you're watching these lives unfold. But even while you're watching it, you have so many questions about the characters, and it kind of purposely doesn't address them. And then I'm not going to spoil the ending, but even the ending, it's just like, well, now I've watched this, I only have more questions about what is going to happen to these characters.
Yeah.
And I am not going to get that satisfaction.
Well, maybe you will. Maybe somebody will do a sitcom based on it. Because that, you know, wacky antics, if you're talking about the very end of the movie, wacky antics could ensue. The other nomination went to the Apple TV Plus Christmas Day release, The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse. It's been nominated for Best Short Film Animated. Now, you and I said that we were both going to watch it today because neither of us had seen it before today. Did you?
Correct. I did watch it. Yeah. After we discussed what we were going to do for the podcast, I did sit down. I admittedly watched it while I was writing up my articles for the day. So it didn't get my fullest. It deserves more of my attention. I will put it that way.
It's 30 minutes, dude. It's 30 minutes.
Right.
I know you had other things, but yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, overall, I loved it. It's pure emotion.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's probably good that you were doing something else because I nearly started crying like three different times.
And
it's only 30 minutes long. And I even talked, I can't remember if it was on this show or on macOS Ken, but I even talked about something that they had in the trailer, which was the part where he says, what's the bravest thing you've ever said? You know?
Yeah.
And the mole says, the bravest thing he's ever said is help. Asking for help is not giving up. It's the act of not giving up or something along those lines. I'm not saying it exactly right.
Yeah.
When I saw that in the trailer, it totally hit me. And so when it happened in, you know, this animated short, I thought, well, I know that's coming. That's not going to hit me. And that was the first time that I nearly cried watching it today. It's just, I mean, it's a kid's book or it's based on a kid's book. So it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And I don't really care because it was just, I mean, so beautiful. And so, mm-hmm. as you say, so emotional. And the animation is just gorgeous, too.
It's got a beautiful animation style. Yeah, that line, there's so many lines where it's just like, oh, this movie is trying to rip my heart out right now.
Right, like, right.
It's just so visceral.
Yeah, and doing a darn fine job. And in case you worry that it's because something bad happens to any of them, something kind of bad does happen to one of them for about a minute. So this is not, we're not setting you up for Bambi or anything like
right.
that. I mean, it's, you know, it's good. It's worth 30 minutes of your time is what I would say if you're an Apple TV Plus subscriber. I don't think we have to spend a lot of time on the one that wasn't nominated. A lot of sites that I saw were surprised that Emancipation wasn't nominated. I got to confess, I haven't seen it. I will say, though, I don't know that anybody should have been surprised that it wasn't nominated based on reviews that I've read. I think it's more just like calling out the fact that Apple was obviously trying to get this nominated.
Yeah.
And that felt like a ton of bricks.
I have to wonder, did they Do they watch it before? I don't know. Because, yeah, it's definitely sold as an Oscar movie. Mm-hmm. Definitely a lot of the promos leading up to it. And it's just, well, okay, you know what? I don't know. Because you know what? Top Gun Maverick got nominated. Right. Top Gun Maverick is nominated for Best Film. Yeah. So I was even prepared to come in here to this podcast and be like, well, it's an action movie. Why should it get nominated? And it doesn't. The Oscars threw that out the window by nominating Top Gun Maverick. So
here's the thing. When I heard about this movie, I was prepared to love it. And that is either because of or in spite of Will Smith. I did question whether Will Smith, you know, whether it was time to go ahead and bring out a new movie with Will Smith. But that aside, I love Ben Foster. I like Antoine Fuqua's direction. And I'm there for a historical drama. I don't know if I'm there for a historical action movie.
Yeah, it's just there's a lot of dramatic. I mean, I love the film, so yeah. I loved it.
Yeah,
I would happily watch it again. Well, I don't know if happy is the right word there, but I will joyously watch this movie. No, it's really good. It's most certainly worth a watch. I know with critics, the critics hated it. So the critics did absolutely hate it.
Yeah.
And I don't know the specifics. I didn't do my own research, but I guess Fuqua took liberties with a lot of the more historical aspects of the film.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see how that would be a huge detractor. But to think selling it as an Oscar movie was weird to me. Because outside of the subject matter, which, you know, is very, very serious, whether it wants to be or not, it's an action movie at its heart. Like all the major scenes are action based. There's tons of just action everywhere.
Yeah.
To the extent where it's just like, yeah, this is kind of hard to take seriously at this point. Like the last time we talked, like Will Smith versus the alligator.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And the thing is, you've got Oscar caliber performers in it. I mean, between, like I say, Ben Foster and Will Smith, and Antoine Fuqua has won the Academy Award as well. So there's no reason to think going into it that it doesn't stand a chance. And yet it certainly didn't this year. You can peep the full list of nominees, by the way, on the Academy site. And the awards will go to whom they will go on Sunday, the 12th of March. And probably we won't talk about it much more between now and then. But I don't know. I guess tune in between now and the 11th. Hey, coming up in just a moment, Nick and I are going to trip down memory lane talking about our first times touching a Mac. One of us can remember it. We'll tell you which one in a moment. First, I want to let you know about another show that I do, though. It is called The Checklist. It is by Secure Mac, and it's pretty much what it sounds like. Secure Mac has been making software to protect your Mac for a number of years, and their mission not only is to sell software, it is also to make sure that people are being safe. And that's where the show The Checklist comes in. Every week, usually every Thursday, we try to offer you information that will keep your Mac life safer. A lot of times it is a literal checklist that you can go through and do stuff to keep you safe. Other times it's news stories, tips and tricks, things that we hope will help you along your digital way. So if you would check it out, that would be fantastic. The show is called The Checklist. It is brought to you by Secure Mac. You can find it online at securemac.com/checklist or wherever you get podcasts. Nick DeCorville is with us today. He is a writer for the Mac Observer online at macobserver.com. And it was Nick who spotted the anniversary that I missed. 24th of January, 1984, marked the 39th anniversary of Steve Jobs first showing off the Mac. I had a Commodore 64 at the time, and it was gathering a lot of dust. I had taken some basic classes on an Apple II, and I absolutely 100% missed the Mac thing when it happened, but I was also still in middle school, so I'm going to cut myself some slack there. Do you mind telling me either roughly or specifically how old you are?
Yeah, so I'm 36. Missed the boat on this one. I was born in 86.
You were born in 86, right? So you don't remember a time when there was no Macintosh.
No.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if I'm happy to say or ashamed to say I do. My friend Paul had a Mac, probably in 85 or 86, I think, is when his family got there. So it was relatively early. Dad was a college professor. Mom was a high school teacher, I think. So I don't know why they decided that was a thing they needed, but they did. And I'm grateful because I was completely transfixed by that thing. Spent a lot of time over at Paul's house. Playing with Mac Paint was really the thing that got me, because all of a sudden you could do this thing on a screen. I would always, you know, like draw and paint and stuff like that, but being able to do it digitally was just crazy to me. And then like a year later, I got to do actually desktop publishing. I got to do the youth group newsletter for my church, which is a pretty big church. I want to say it was like 1,500, 2,000 people in the congregation, and everybody got the newsletter, which means the stuff that I was doing was going out to, you know, a few hundred to a couple of thousand people, which, you know, felt kind of big time to me. And then I graduated high school and no longer in the youth group, had not only no use for, but no access to a Mac. Ooh, and I spent years and years in the desert, the Windows desert. Until about 2004 or 2005, when I met a guy who I started doing a podcast for. And doing that podcast kind of let me work towards my 12-inch PowerBook G4. Scott Shepard on Inside Mac, by the way, is who it was and what it was. And I've had like five or six Macs since. And the idea of, you know, going back to the Windows side gives me hives. It gives me the heebie-jeebies. It's not a thing I would willingly do.
I can't.
Well, that's my Mac story in a nutshell. What's yours?
Yeah. So funny enough, yeah, I was actually talking with my mom today about this. Mm-hmm. I was trying to decide because as we spoke a little bit before the show, my grandfather actually sold Macs. I don't know when he started, but I mean, he was able to procure us our first Mac. 91, 92, something like that. I was definitely very young. Mm-hmm. My mom and I were trying to figure out which one it was. She's convinced that it's the Macintosh SE. I'm convinced it was the Macintosh 2, which both were released around the same time. But yeah, I was drawn to it, funny enough, not by Mac Paint, like you mentioned, but funny enough, it was KidPix that got me into it, which was actually like the child friendlier version. I had to look it up before the thing, because it was like a faint memory. It's like, I remember using this. I remember utilizing it in some fashion. Mm-hmm. And then funny enough, like you, yeah, I ended up falling into the Windows wagon. And now, yeah, I've been back on Apple products probably for about 10 years now. And like you, I've used Windows 11, but I couldn't imagine continuing to use Windows 11.
I honestly don't even know if I've used Windows 11. I used something a few years ago. People have heard me say here that I had access to an Oculus Rift for another project that I was on a few years ago. And that came, it's kind of funny because it came with this like super huge, overpowered gaming rig made by Asus. And I knew people who hated the fact that all I used it for was the VR thing, and I barely used it for that because we didn't need it that much. But man, that thing would just make so much noise, and like, you know, you would turn it on and the fans would start. And there was just like the thing that I don't know is if I started today, I assume if I started today and I started on a Windows machine, I would be fine with the Windows machine for the rest of my life. And if I looked at a Mac, I would probably be confused by it. And where's this thing? And where are the games that I can play and all that stuff? To me, the Mac was always, and this goes back to that thing with Mac Paint back in 85. Steve Jobs and Tim Cook have said the best technology is just the stuff that gets out of your way. The stuff that just lets you do what you want to do. We did actually have a machine that ran MS-DOS in my house. And my stepfather bought it for my stepbrother and stepsister, even though I had suggested they get a Mac because it was like, nobody is going to know how to use that. Whereas you just sit down to a Mac and you just start doing the thing you need to do. And it pretty much just sat in the corner and nobody used it for anything, as far as I know, even as they were going through school. So I don't know. I mean, not to be a shill, but you know, it just works. Except for the butterfly keyboard. That's just terrible. And I look forward to being done with that, you know, when I'm on to my next one.
Yeah.
Hey, if you have a question or a comment that you would like to send our way, we would certainly love to hear from you. Tell us your first Mac story. I would actually love to start next week's Mailbag Monday with your first Mac story. Do you remember the first time you laid eyes on one? Remember the first time you laid hands on one? Observations@macobserver.com would be the way to let us know about it. Observations@macobserver.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter. We are at TMO Daily there. Feel free to leave a comment on the stuff I do over at the Mac Observer, either on this show or the Observation Deck. Both of those turn up every Monday through Friday at macobserver.com. You can, of course, visit my website, macosken.com. Nick, I know you are off the socials. Good on you. Remind people what your email address is, though.
Yeah, so if you'd like to get a hold of me, feel free to contact me at nick@macobserver.com. Let's talk what you think should be the Oscar win this year.
Advertising handle by Backbeat Media. Online at backbeatmedia.com. The Daily Observations is a production of the Mac Observer. From the latest news to how-tos, your source for Apple News is macobserver.com.